join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is No More Trauma by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
We've been talking about no more trauma, or what I'm really talking about, overcoming and moving past our trauma. And so Psalms 137, 1 through 5 is our basic background scripture where it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of Zion's songs. But they were traumatized by this event. And so their question is, how can we sing this Lord's songs in a strange land? How can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? You know, I came across a social media clip yesterday by our friend, Pastor Cheryl Brady, who's one of our speakers this year, by the way, for Direction for Life Conference. And she was sitting down with someone saying that in a relatively short period of time, both her mother and her sister passed away, who was like her anchor and her rock in her life. And it was a very short period of time. She said, and they were having a special event at the church, and she had to go out, and she supposed to, you know, regarding this event. And she began to mention that at that time she felt so heavy. She was full of mixed emotions. And she was being very transparent. She said that she said to the Lord, she said, am I supposed to keep telling these people all these great things about you? Because right now, that's not how I feel. Can I tell y'all, I felt that way a couple weeks ago when, I don't know, it was, I think, the murder that happened the night of the Chauvin verdict. I got so heavy, and I'm like, man, I got to keep telling my people, God is able, God is good. He's going to recompense us. He's bringing us out. He's bringing us through. And I felt, how can I keep doing this? And she settled on this. She said, God, and by the way, can I tell you, God can handle your anger. God can handle, watch this. He sees our hearts. He knows our thoughts. So you might as well work it out in his presence. In some cases, in some instances, you need to let God be your therapist. Tell him everything that you're thinking because he can handle it. Job did it. David did it. Most of the Psalms are about David crying out before God, telling God what he was feeling. You know, the Psalm I always quote, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. And so God can handle all your issues. But so Cheryl Brady went on to say, she said, she went out there and she told God, she said, you know, I don't understand all this. I got all these questions. But one thing I know, God, is that I love you and you love me. Come on, that's certain things you got to get settled. You got to get settled that you love God and he loves you. He can handle your anger. He can handle your frustration. People told us inaccurately, erroneously, don't question God. That is not in the scriptures, all through the scriptures. Okay. We see people questioning God, including Jesus himself. But then you got to get your answers from God and get those things settled in the presence of God. Amen. So I really want y'all to understand this here, that even regarding our trauma, we can take things to the Lord. Psalm 66 and 12, and then another of our background scriptures. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. So I want you to know, despite your fire and despite your water, traumatic experiences, fire that could have burned you to death, water that could have drowned you to death. But look at this. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. What I want you to know, glory to God, is that despite your drama and your trauma, God can still bring you out into a wealthy place. God can bring you to a place that you that your present is better than your past, that your future is brighter than your past. God will bring you out to a wealthy place. That verse from the New Living Translation, Psalm 66 and 12, it says, then you put a leader over us, and we went through fire and flood and brought us out into a place of great abundance. One, I would pray that you would receive me as a leader that God has placed over you to help you come through the fire, come through the flood, and come into a great place, a place of great abundance. Amen. So we've been talking about trauma, and so all the academic stuff, we're not going to go back over that, but let's go over some steps that we talked about in getting past your trauma. Number one, I said, we need to know that God sees your trauma. Number two, we said, don't blame God for your trauma. Number three, we said, take all your fears to the Lord, because trauma creates fears. We're going to end with that point again today. Number four, we said, you got to look to the future more than your past. Look to the future more than your past. And then number five, we said, thank God that you got out. We went through the flood, but thank God you brought us out into a wealthy place. That's one of the things that's going to keep you going. That glory to God, thank God I'm not stuck in the adverse childhood experiences of my past. Despite going through adverse childhood experiences, I grew up. Glory to God. And watch this. And some of us, and I said this to my staff yesterday. I asked our staff as we were sitting down talking to this. I said, how many of y'all remember, we try to put it in politically correct terms now and say things like spanking? No, forget spanking. As in the African-American community, we call it a beating or a whooping. W-H-U-P-P-I-N. I said, how many of y'all remember one particular whooping among all the other? One particular whooping stands out to you. Come on. If you remember one particular whooping that stands out more than all the others you may have gotten, put a hand in the chat. Okay. And if you do, know what that meant? That whooping traumatized you, that you will never forget. And maybe your mama, maybe your daddy, maybe your big mama, your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle said, oh, you will never forget this. And they meant that. But praise God, listen. The truth of the matter is, some of that what we call discipline and whoopings. Bottom line, it was abuse. Okay, I don't care what y'all say. Beating kids with switches and leaving marks and all that—it's abuse. And so when I mentioned that, the worst one that I remember, okay, some of y'all heard me tell this story many years ago, is that I got a new bike. My mother gave it to me for my birthday in the middle of the week. My birthday was like on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Got a new bike, living in the project. And then she said, got the bike on my birthday. We took it back into the apartment in the project. And she said, don't take your bike out. You can take it out this weekend. And when you do take it out, you can't go to the park, which was across the street. Now, that's torturing to a kid. And she worked nights. So she goes to work 3-4 o'clock. I'm at home. Okay. It's the end of summer. My birthday is in September. Okay. And I get the bike, but I can't take it out. She's at work. I took the bike out. Long story short, I took the bike out. Not only did I take the bike out, I went into the park, the very place she told me not to take it, because there was a water fountain in the park. Okay. And long short of it, two people came along and they stole my bike. The bike my mama had on layaway for I don't know how many months. The bike she finally got me for my birthday, gave it to me on a Tuesday or Wednesday, but you're not supposed to take it out till Friday. Don't do that to your kids. Okay, that's right. Y'all remember, it's coming. And so I called her up, tried to give her a warning at work. I said, Ma, my bike got stolen. And she said to me, her professional code switching voice, now I got a term for it, her code switching voice at work, she said, you took the bike out? I said, yes. She said, okay, we'll discuss it when I get home, in her nice code switch professional voice, because other people here at work. About midnight, she gets home. The lights come on. It's like it might as well have been 6 o'clock in the morning with the sunshine in my room. Lights come on. She pulls the covers off me. I wore about 3 pairs of pajamas that night because I had a feeling I was going to get a spanking, a whooping, a beating. She said, take it all off. Take it. And she beat me naked with an extension cord. Said, I told you not to take. And y'all remember when parents used to beat you and they beat you for every syllable? I told you not to take that bike. I'm so glad my wife, my mama wasn't college educated, because then she would have used longer words and I would have got beat for more syllables. But that's true. I don't care what y'all say. The fact that I've never beat any of my children with a extension cord, that meant not only that I survived the trauma, but I'm doing better. Can I tell you some things you need to learn that you went through? Make a decision you're going to do better for your kids. You're going to do better in the next generation. And you're not going to continue to perpetuate the same things. Amen. So we say, thank God that you got out. Let's move on here. Number six, I want to talk about. Dinah said, I don't think I used the term get over the trauma. And I don't want to say get over, but I do want to be able to move past it. Okay, move past it to the point that it doesn't get you stuck in your life, that it doesn't. So, for example, if you get stuck in the fact that you were sexually abused as a child, you might not ever be able to have a great sexual relationship in your marriage. I need to add the marriage part, because I know everybody won't have a great sexual relationship, but we're going to do it God's way. It needs to be within marriage. So if you don't get over that, you may not ever be able to have the type of sexual, harmonious, loving, pleasurable sexual relationship that God wants you to have in your marriage. That's what I'm talking about getting stuck. Okay. And the truth of them. Okay. I'm going to say something here. I did some research on it when I was in college, and I continue to hear it. And I'm not going to say it's the case for all, but in many cases, people who are now living homosexual lifestyles, you'll often find there was something they had in common. Many, I'm not going to say most, because I haven't surveyed everybody. I did a paper on this when I was in college called The Uniqueness of the African-American Professional. We wasn't African-Americans back then. The Uniqueness of the Black Professional. The Black Homosexual. Uniqueness of the Black Homosexual. And I found that many were abused, sexually abused, molested. And then some type of way now that has now yielded them it's been the impetus for the homosexual lifestyle. Okay. Now I know people going to tell me some that no, you're born like this. Okay, fine, whatever. I know the ones who I've talked to, and the ones even who have been transparent about it as a Christian, many times they have that in common. So what I'm saying, that trauma can cause your life to go in a direction many times that God did not intend for it to go in. So let me move on here. So we're going to move past it. The sixth thing I say is that you need to manage your thoughts. You have to manage your thoughts. You cannot just let your thoughts run free, because trauma affects your thoughts and your imagination. And remember, I said last week that by the Spirit of God, God gave us an imagination so we can visualize what our faith can produce. God gave us an imagination so we can visualize what our faith can produce. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Our imagination shouldn't traumatize us. That is demonic. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. So if you don't learn to manage your trauma and the thoughts of trauma, you will keep re-experiencing the trauma. And of course, many times trauma survivors, they may re-experience their trauma through thought, feeling, memories, other means, re-experiencing trauma. That can be very distressing. And it may trigger uncomfortable emotions, fear, anger, sadness, nightmares, flashbacks, uncontrollable, vivid imaginations and memories of the trauma, distressing thoughts, feelings about the trauma, emotional distress, and even physical responses, as Donnie was saying, you know, whether it's high blood pressure or migraines or other physiological things, because as Donna pointed out, many times the effects of trauma is not just merely cognitive. It's not merely a memory. It shows up physiologically in our bodies, okay, through headaches or through high blood pressure or through diabetes and these things that our bodies end up having negative reactions, sickness and disease. We're not having the ease in our bodies that we ought to because of this trauma that has now produced disease. And let me say this, many times we are not as concerned about disease. So for example, high blood pressure or abnormal A1C levels or these things, they can be diseases, but we're not sick. We're not sick because when you're sick, now you end up on dialysis. When you're sick, now you end up with a stroke. But you need to understand disease eventually will cause you to be sick. So we need to be able to capture things and arrest things and eradicate things at the disease level so we'll never be sick. A lot of us, particularly African-American, we just concerned about being sick, okay? We just concerned about being sick. But we don't think about those diseases. But any disease that goes unchecked is going to manifest in sickness, all right? So look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Many times traumatic thoughts and those triggers are strongholds in our minds. And verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those trauma thoughts got to be brought into obedience. That's why I said the Bible says we can manage our thoughts. That verse from the Message translation says we use our powerful God tools for smashing war philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word says you are free, that you are loved, that you have peace. Trauma says you are bound. Trauma says, at any moment, something going to happen. Trauma says you're unsafe. But the word of God says that you are loved, that you are free. You have the peace of God. You have the joy of the Lord. So we got to pull down those things that counter that. Fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Oh, I love that. Man, let me read that again completely without giving commentary. And that is 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, the Message translation. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Glory to God. That trauma wants you to live the kind of life that has not been shaped by Christ. So I got to draw those thoughts in, those fears in, that anxiety in, those triggers in, and I got to fit all those thoughts under the word of God, pulling them in, pulling them down into the structure of a life that's shaped by Christ. So when thoughts come, you got to say, no, that's not my life. That me being fearful, me being anxious and having anxiety, me having all these triggers, me being fearful and scared. No, that's not my life. That's not the life Christ wants me to have. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing. That means we're not supposed to be worried, anxiety stricken about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, your past, your present, and your future, by prayer and supplication. That word supplication means definite requests. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, verse 7 is continued upon verse 6, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm speaking to some veteran right now. who has seen traumatic things that you can't tell your wife about. You may you probably gonna never tell me about it as your pastor, your bishop. You can't share with your friends, okay? And I'm not even gonna start trying to articulate the kind of things I know you probably have seen. But what I'm telling you, other people may continue to be traumatized by that. I'm telling you, take those thoughts, take those things before God in prayer, and that you're not continue to be worried and haunted and traumatized by those thoughts, and say, God, I need you to take this away from me so that I can go into a room and be at peace, that I can go into a prayer room and not be worried, that I can go be in a dark place and not have heart palpitations. Come on now, take that to God with definite requests. And it says, and we would do it. And then it said, with supplication, definite request, and thanking God. So what does that sound like? Okay. God, these thoughts that I keep playing over and over in my head when I was abused, when I was raped, when I saw that traumatic thing, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would take away the effects of those thoughts that continue to cause physiological responses in my body, emotional responses in my spirit, in my heart, in my emotions. And Father, I give that to you. And Father, I thank you right now that I have peace that goes beyond what the therapist thought. I have peace that goes beyond the research. I have peace that goes beyond human understanding. I thank you, Lord God, for your peace, which surpasses all understanding. And Father, I thank you. You're keeping my heart and my mind in perfect peace through Christ Jesus. Amen. Come on, we either believe the word of God or we don't. So watch this, y'all. You can choose to keep your mind on your trauma and trauma on your mind, or you can decide to keep your mind on Jesus. Let me say it again. You can choose to keep your mind on your trauma and trauma on your mind, or you can choose and decide to keep your mind on Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, he tells us in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Notice God doesn't put a bracket or parenthesis or a qualifier after he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. He doesn't say, thou will keep him in perfect peace, except if you've been raped. He does not say that will keep him in perfect peace, except if you were beat naked with an extension cord, like I was. He does not say I will keep him in perfect peace, provided you weren't smacked for spilling milk like I was. Okay. He said, I will keep him in perfect peace, regardless of what we've been through. He said, but we're going to have to be deliberate. We have to be intentional, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Now, come on, y'all. Keeping your mind stayed on Jesus requires effort. You can't watch cable news all day long and keep your mind on Jesus. You can't, come on, we can't just watch the news and read the papers and think we're going to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. Okay. I listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to the Today Show on radio, particularly if I'm out when the news comes on. I listen to CNN on radio. I listen to Urban View on radio. Now, Urban View is the urban network that really is dealing with politics and from a liberal and black perspective and all that. And at times I got to just turn from that. I listen to Dr. Laura, okay, fussing people out who call her, and she's supposed to be helping these people and act like she'd be mad at them most of the time. But anyway, you know, but there's times, y'all, when if I'm starting to feel heavy, or if I'm starting to feel angry at the people, whatever people, I say, okay, I gotta put my mind on Jesus. I gotta put some worship music on. I have to get in the word, because if you're gonna be in perfect peace, you're gonna have to be deliberate about the brain space you give. Okay, you have to be deliberate about what you focus on. So Philippians 4:8-9, I guess I'm reviewing it. We went over this last week. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. That means good news. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. As I think about it, y'all, NBC News at the end, like the last 2 minutes, so probably around 6:55. That's the whole gives a final story. And I think some of them call it, sometimes they say now for the good stuff or an inspiring story. Sometimes we don't need to turn the news on to 6:55. Here's some good stuff, okay? Something good of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Something good, something excellent. Be deliberate about what you think about. Then Paul says, even as the apostle, he says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. We want the God of peace to keep us in perfect peace, okay? Now watch this. And I added this one here because I had this in my notes, and today I added this one. I want you to daily confess, I have the mind of Christ. Not a traumatized mind. I want you to daily confess, I have the mind of Christ. Come on, put that in your chat right now. Okay. Put that in your chat right now. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, for who hath known the mind of Christ? Excuse me, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Come on, put it in the chat. Say it again. I have the mind of Christ. So in all those negative, all those anxiety thoughts, all those thoughts of lack, all those thoughts of despair, all those thoughts coming that starting to cause you to have rapid heartbeats, all those thoughts of fear and worried about you, when that comes, come on, lay hands on your own head. I have the mind of Christ. Philippians 3 tells us, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let it. So now I have to let this mind, this type of attitude, this type of thinking. I have control over whether I'm going to have the mind of my past, the mind of my trauma, the mind of my family, the mind of my community, or whether I'm going to focus and have the mind of Christ. Amen. I have the mind of Christ. Okay. Let me give you the final one here today. I don't think I'm going to finish it. So we may have to pick up just on this point next week. The seventh and final one I want to give you is that you have to take steps to move beyond your trauma. Take steps to move beyond your trauma.
Trauma can either make you bitter or make you better. Trauma can bring you down or drive you up. Some type of way, we have to take the trauma we've been through and say, God is still with me. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to overcome the trials and trauma we've faced and proclaim that if God is for me, who could be against me? To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.